Kenya wants to send hundreds of thousands of refugees back to their home countries, but the UN says it cannot force people out. The country's government wants to close the world's largest refugee camp, called Dadaab. After years of threats and scare tactics, it is trying a softer approach, salesmanship. NPR's Gregory Warner reports that Kenya has tapped a Somali refugee to make the pitch.
Noor Tawane has the open-shirted, wide-smiled, heavy-lidded look of a born salesman. He arrived at Dadaab camp in 1992 at the age of 7, a refugee with nothing, fleeing a war. But he's the kind of guy who might have made a fortune by now, except Kenya does not allow Somali refugees to work or get citizenship. And so Tawane has spent his entire life here at the camp, making himself indispensable to foreign aid agencies. He's been a supervisor of microfinance loans, a builder of schools, a renter of vehicles, and he's invested his earnings in a giant shed of diesel generators tucked away in the sprawling camp. He sells electricity by the kilowatt. How many houses does this power?
420 households.
But Tawane's latest venture is not about serving the expanding camp. It's about trying to shrink it. Kenya wants the 24-year-old camp closed. The UN mandates that repatriation must be voluntary. Late last year, the United Nations started offering packages to people that agreed to leave, including cooking implements and some cash. But less than 3,000 refugees took the deal. Twice as many babies were born in the camp over the same period. Faced with this impasse, the Kenyan government has tapped Tawane to convince his fellow camp residents to take the package and turn in their refugee cards. For 1 week, he'll be touring the camp on 4x4 pickup trucks with Somali dancers and singers belting the Somali anthem, which sounds like this. But if patriotism alone does not work, then Tawane has another argument up his sleeve. This deal won't last long.
They have to go back, start farming, start any other activity, I feel like.
Before whatever farm or land you do have in Somalia is stolen by your neighbors. 68-year-old Hassan Dahir Asman fled the drought 4 years ago. He's going back because, as Tawane has reminded him, the rains have come. It's planting time.
We don't know if our farms have been taken by other people. We've heard nothing from there since we fled.
For farmers like Asman, the decision to leave is just about the details, getting enough severance from the UN for bus fare and farming tools. Habiba Adan Abdi is a tougher case. Her 25 camels died from drought. Here in the camp, her 3-year-old son loves his free school, where he's learning English.
Here, our children are in school. If we're allowed to stay, we'll stay. But if we're asked to go, we'll go.
But even if her son learns English, there is no future for him here in the camp, or in Kenya, which bars Somali refugees from leaving the camp. And the hardest sell of all are the majority of camp residents who were either born here or left Somalia as children 2 decades ago. Tawane knows that these are the hardest to convince because he's one of them himself. His family home and farm, abandoned in 1992, are since occupied. And then suddenly Tawane is selling me on why he can't go back.
If you go back now, it's like a confrontation between the ones that are now living and my father, saying, this is my house, this is not yours, which means a new fighting will just erupt.
He says the only home his family has now is here in Dadaab camp.
And where we found that we can live forever.
Forever?
Yeah. Forever. This is...
Now, this might seem a bit hypocritical, but it's just a bolder version of the doublespeak that you hear from many refugees. Habiba Abdurrahman, a camp chairwoman, rattles off all the reasons that Somalia is not safe or suitable for her, until she explains that the newer arrivals, the refugees that came post-2006...
Those ones, yeah, they have to go back immediately.
Her reason, like Tawane's, is that newer arrivals have farms or homes to go back to. But there are other lines of division. Refugees from places still held by Islamist militants argue that those from the government-held places should now go home. And the common hope being that those who manage to stay the longest might get what both the United Nations and the United States have quietly encouraged Kenya to offer, a path to citizenship.
Because someone who have been here for 20, 25 years is just like similar to Uhuru Kenyatta.
The Kenyan president.
Just a Kenyan. I know there have been a slight segregation, but as time goes, things will change.
Tuwane hopes that if he does a good enough job convincing his fellow refugees to go home, Kenya might accept him as one of its own. Gregory Warner, NPR News, Dadaab.